Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting college football season so far. It's really, it feels very wide open. It feels like there are 30 teams minimum, probably more than that, that could potentially make a playoff run this year. Charch is with us, as he is every Thursday in this spot, at Paul Charchian on X, on Twitter. Fantasy Football Weekly and CHOP are the podcasts. Before we get to, fantasy football talk specifically, not that it's that unusual. I think, you know, it always grabs the headlines and people think, wow, this is a run of injuries at the quarterback position that is unique. It isn't necessarily unique, but Burrow, Daniels potentially this weekend, McCarthy in Minnesota, Brock Purdy in San Francisco, Justin Fields, what do you make of this? Does it feel different? Because I think we say that every year when it happens.
Yeah, I think it is a little different, Kevin, in that it's all hit us at once. You know, it's not uncommon for these quarterback injuries, but, you know, everything sort of detonated in 1 week and early in the season. So it's not like these players have been ground down over the course of many, many weeks.
Right.
Here we are two weeks in, and we've got five starting quarterbacks potentially not playing. I mean, I think four for sure, almost certainly, and one's still a question mark there in Washington. So, yeah, it's early already to have to go to some backup plans, but that's part of the fun of fantasy football as well, is, you know, trying to find out who's agile, who's staying on their toes, who's going to make some key pickups, and who's going to be able to ride out their find wins even without your starting quarterback. And that's, I don't know, it's part of the fun of it, I think, if you embrace the challenge.
You know what Robert Saleh said after they played the Saints last week? He said Spencer Rattler is special and is going to be a very good quarterback.
Okay, very good is a stretch. I'm not ready to go that far, but the observation I tweeted halfway through that game was Spencer Rattler is non-awful. That kid can.
That's your new thing this year. Not awful.
Not awful. Yeah. The kid can. He has a requisite NFL arm. And I do kind of like him. And the fact that he won that quarterback battle really early in training camp was one of the indicators that, you know, there was a chance for him to be good. And I was really impressed. And suddenly you look at the Saints. You don't think of the Saints as having a lot of weapons, but Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and their tight end, if you haven't figured this out already, and you should have through 2 weeks, because he's like the number two scoring fantasy tight end. Juwan Johnson's legit. So they've got, and you can throw to Alvin Kamara. So they've actually got a plethora of weapons for Spencer Rattler there.
Yeah. I was thinking about this because, of course, your team is Minnesota, the Vikings. If Kevin O'Connell can do with Carson Wentz what he did with Sam Darnold, he is the quarterback whisperer. Because Carson Wentz, when he was on the field here in 2022, he was so bad, Charch, and had the yips, basically. If he ends up, I mean, what are the expectations of the next two to four games with Carson Wentz in Minnesota?
You know the old adage, you have to be a pretty good pitcher to lose 20 games.
Yeah.
So here's your Carson Wentz version. On Sunday, he will become the first quarterback in NFL history to play for six different teams in 6 years and start a game for each one.
Wow.
That's
Philly.
That's
the Colts, the Redskins, Wait, where was he before
he was with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was the Rams in 2023.
The Rams.
And I think you've hit them all. Philly, Indy, Washington, Rams, Kansas City, Vikings.
And he had a start for all of those teams. Wow.
He did.
I mean,
got a start for all of them. Now, there's an asterisk on some of these. They were like week 17, like Kansas City. It was the week 18 game. But still.
But what does that speak to? That speaks to two things that are true. Both things can be true. He is talented, and he's also a pain in the ass. Right? I think that's it. I mean, he was right. Certainly that here.
Yes. Yes. Maybe things will be
I shouldn't say it
Minnesota.
That way. He was super sensitive and difficult to coach, I think.
So maybe this is he has now been knocked down so many pegs that it's going to be a little bit like Baker Mayfield, who said he had to go to ground zero and be built back up, and perhaps he's going to be baptized in the holy waters of Lake Minnetonka with Kevin O'Connell, just like Kirk Cousins, just like Sam Darnold, just like Josh Dobbs, and maybe he can be an average NFL quarterback, and maybe the Vikings are actually going to be better with him than they were with J.J. McCarthy, who played 8 quarters, 7 of which were pretty bad. And, one amazing quarter, 4th quarter against the Bears. And there's a chance that Wentz, good enough to hang around on all these rosters, not get cut, be the number 2 guy in many cases, maybe he'll just play average NFL football, and the Vikings offense will get a little bit better over these next few games.
I love your fan base. It's similar to ours and probably similar to most. It's incredibly reactionary, very emotional. The Viking, Viking Nation is really into it. And I followed it from afar. You know why? Because Cousins was the quarterback and I'm a big fan of Kirk. And I saw the ups and downs with the reaction. One week he's the best ever. The next week he's the worst ever.
Yeah.
But I'm curious with McCarthy, and he looked awful. I mean, awful, with the exception of that one quarter. But we know this. It's 2 games. Like, how could you ever come to a conclusion? But is the fan base, are fans and media members already bailing on J.J. McCarthy?
People are nervous. Yeah, they're nervous. But they also recognize that the offensive line has been bad.
Darrisaw.
No Darrisaw, the star left tackle, and the guy behind him hurt too, by the way. Vikings could be missing for this game. And they're favored, by the way, which I don't understand. They could be missing 11 starters on both sides of the ball, between both sides. 11 starters, if you include fullback as a starting position. If you don't, then let's call it 10. This team is in desperate trouble from an injury standpoint. And, that's played a factor here, too. JJ's also, the accuracy on his passes have been bad. Oof. He hasn't made fast decisions. It's troubling right now, but, there are a lot of quarterbacks who've turned out great that
of course.
Really, really rough starts. Yeah.
All right, we're talking to Charge. So back to just the quarterbacks in general. If you had one of the guys that went down, if you've got Jaden Daniels, you're scrambling for a quarterback right now, who's out there that can be picked up?
Go get Bengals backup Jake Browning going up against Minnesota, who he's already beat once, by the way, as a starting quarterback. He's one of the best backups in the league. He started 7 games and played most of an 8th game last week. He has thrown at least 1 touchdown in all 7 games that he has started. And he's actually run in touchdowns, 4 scores rushing in the last 8 games. And a side note for bettors out there, right now he's plus +850 to score a rushing touchdown. You might want to hit that. And Jake Browning, he's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to throw to. And as I just mentioned, Vikings riddled on defense with injury. So Jake Browning to me is the target to go get, even ahead of bottom tier normal starting quarterbacks of the Cam Ward, Russell Wilson, Bryce Young level. I would go get Jake Browning.
We had a lot of running backs taken in this last draft. It was supposed to be, one of the best running back drafts in recent years. Gentes, I mean, they got issues along the offensive line. Hampton's looked very pedestrian. what's going on with all these rookie running backs, and what are the options if you've got one of them?
So for Genty, get this. The Las Vegas offensive line, which you correctly said has been a problematic, they're giving him negative 0.2 yards before contact.
That's unbelievable.
Think about that. His offensive line is losing him yards before contact. It's unfathomable. So there's that. And then the other thing that's really hurting Genty, and it materialized on Monday night, his pass blocking is so comically bad that he's turned himself, the videos have gone viral, and he's losing reps to Zamir White and Dylan Laube. I mean, you know, this is like generational running back talent coming into the NFL, and he's losing half the snaps to Zamir White and Dylan Laube. And
yeah, he can't pass protect. Typical for a young running back in the NFL, but not you. Then you don't take him number six overall.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Perhaps not. And he's an elite pass catcher, but he's not on the field on third down because he can't block. So that's killing him too. Now, the good thing about Genty, and way better than Omarion Hampton, who we'll talk about in a second, when he does get a smidgen of open space, he's making guys whiff. He's got the fifth best broken tackle rate among starting running backs. So Genty, when he's given just a smidge of open space, he's making the best of it, but it hasn't come together yet. And people are understandably nervous there. For Hampton, this is a bigger worry to me because he had the same number of carries on Monday night as the blind guy did, just 12 snaps in the game. And, you know, fortunately, Najee Harris didn't look any better, but he's a better pass blocker. So there's that. They got Denver this week. And if Omarion Hampton can't get it going here because teams are running on Denver, they rank 28th in rushing yards allowed. They rank 31st in yards after contact, and they've got the great secondary for Denver. I mean, the way you beat Denver is you go run on them, just like Jonathan Taylor did last week. So if Omarion Hampton can't get it done here, then I think you're in full-blown emergency panic-level stuff here on Hampton.
So far, and we've talked about this on the show this week, and we saw it last Thursday night, there are some very impressive defensive football teams for early in the season when sometimes, you know, tackling and other things are issues in the first few weeks. I mean, we know how good the Eagles are defensively, but Charge, the Packers are unbelievably talented on defense. Tampa is good on defense. The 49ers are good on defense. Specific to some of these teams, if you've got guys that are facing the Eagles, the Packers, the Bucks, do you just bail completely?
Packers are the only team that I would put at that level where I would say you've got, you know, you're always gonna start Ja'Marr Chase, right? I mean, you know, there's a level at which you just never bench your
stud. Yeah, of course.
But, you know, but for Packers, to me, is the one team that I would give real pause to almost every other tier of player because they just look so good. It's so many aspects of the game, whether it's the pass rush, which looks fantastic. The run defense has been very good. Coverage, you know, this has turned into a very good young secondary. And it's all keyed by the fact that the Packers have drafted so well. And when you've got a bunch of high quality, high functioning players on rookie contracts, it frees up the money to go afford to pay Micah Parsons. And now, you know, the Packers, the one team that I don't think I would mess with. Another one we're going to watch closely that people aren't paying attention to, the Browns defense has looked really good.
Oh, it's so good.
their two games, and we're gonna keep an eye on that emerging storyline.
Yeah, I mean, look, they ended up giving up, you know, a lot of points, but you know, to Baltimore. But I watched that week one game against Cincinnati. They completely shut them down. Derrick Henry went from 169 yards against the Bills to 11 carries, 23 yards against the Browns.
Yep.
Miles Garrett, hand it to him right now. He's the defensive player of the year. I mean, he's
right now. Yeah.
He's spectacular. All right. Well, Thursday night football tonight, Buffalo and Miami. Is Tua off of the performance last week? Is he startable?
Not really. I mean, you know, I'll give you the angle. And last week's metrics were way better. He was a disaster in week one. And then last week, 215 yards, two scores, 81% completion rate, which is a lot of what he does. But usually that high completion rate, and I know you know this, Kevin, it's because he's a dump-off king. But this last week, that 81% completion rate was on a 10-yard passing average. Not bad. I mean, that's like the NFL norm. So, you know, and that was double his week one distance downfield. And Tyreek Hill, with his longest play in over a year, unlocked last week. So they started throwing downfield. And granted, it helped that they were playing the Patriots. That looks like a really bad defense. A much tougher matchup this week with the Bills. I prefer not to start Tua. He's my quarterback 27. But your ray of hope is that he played Buffalo twice last year, played him well in both games. And, you know, Bills are 12.5-point favorites. It looks, you know, this game plan, the game script might have to be a lot of passing. And when Tua throws more than 40 times in a game, which he's done six or seven times in his career, he averages 333 yards and 2.5 touchdowns. So if you see a blowout coming like the point spread would suggest, just through sheer volume, Tua could be startable.
Meantime, Josh Allen, and I saw this in your notes, the worst fantasy performance of his career in a 30-10 win over the Jets. I mean, James Cook's a pretty good option. They've got good running backs. They've got a running game. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to do it every week for them.
He doesn't, but he's going to tonight. Josh Allen is my number one ranked player at any position for this week. Miami has already seen, from just a rushing standpoint, Miami has already seen 17 quarterback rushes against them. That is the second highest number. And they've allowed 3 quarterback rushing touchdowns. That is the most. But then there's this. Miami has 4 cornerbacks on IR and 2 other members of their secondary who are probably going to miss this game. Their matchups in the secondary, and their personnel in the secondary, is a disaster. Rasul Douglas, a streak free agent 3 weeks ago, is starting. They've got 2 rookies, 5th rounders, starting in their secondary. So Josh Allen, air and ground, game on, bounce back coming games coming for Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, who are down. Josh Palmer's a dart throw here. I love every part of the Bills offense tonight and expect big things.
All right, if Marcus Mariota starts for Washington and you're in dire need, is it a good matchup or not against the Raiders?
Well, the Raiders' secondary is pretty darn bad. They rebuilt it in the offseason, and they haven't seen any real fruition on that yet. They ranked 27th in coverage by Pro Football Focus, and they've got some real duds playing cornerback like Darnay Holmes in the slot. Debo Samuel, just get the ball to Debo Samuel, and he will roast Darnay Holmes. So there is some opportunities here. But, you know, Marcus Mariota, by the standards of backup quarterbacks, is, you know, he's quasi-functional and stylistically not all that different than what you've got already installed for Daniels. So, there's no hope here. The question I wanted to ask you, and I can't leave this conversation without us talking about, can we talk through the running back situation now that Austin Ekeler is done, and whether or not Jeremy McNichols will walk into that role, Kevin?
They like Jeremy McNichols a lot. They've, you know, used him at times, but usually not in the competitive portions of the game because he's a big-time special teamer, and they loved Ekeler. Ekeler's going to be a big loss. It's really a mystery, Charge, because Thursday night, they couldn't protect, they couldn't get open, and yet they didn't even try to run the football with their rookie, Kroski Merritt. So I think there's a chance we're going to see a lot more Kroski Merritt and maybe even Chris Rodriguez. But in terms of that Ekeler role, it would probably be McNichols. Yes. Now, what that equates to in snap count, I don't know, because Eckler, remember, was in there a lot on first down as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And McNichols doesn't have that to him, but what he might have from a fantasy standpoint is 3, 4, 5 catch upside, like Eckler did in almost every game. And I could see him being utilized that way. I don't think he'll get the runs that Eckler did, but I could see him getting the receptions that Eckler did.
Always good to do this with you. Thanks. Talk to you next week. Enjoy the football.
You got it, my man. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchi and everybody. We'll do our NFL power rankings next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.